Hello, kings and queens of the ring. Welcome back to another episode, episode 10 of Arm Drag Takedown with Poyo Del Mar. I am your host, Poyo Del Mar, the world's most wrestling-obsessed drag personality. And I bet you are wondering at home how it is a drag queen has managed to land an exclusive interview with SmackDown Live Women's Champion Charlotte Flair. Before we take you to that interview, I should give you a little bit of history about myself. Not only am I a drag entertainer, but I'm also a journalist with the Huffington Post, and I've been covering professional wrestling for the last number of years, and I've been a fan of professional wrestling for almost four decades, I'm ashamed to admit, because that just, a lady never tells her age. Nevertheless, during the course of my journalism career, I've had the opportunity and distinct pleasure to interview legends of the professional wrestling industry, as well as some of its most up-and-coming talent of today and tomorrow. My work has led me to sit-down interviews in person, face-to-face with icons like Stone Cold Steve Austin and Hulk Hogan, former WWE champion and now Guardians of the Galaxy superstar Dave Bautista when he released his book a number of years back, as well as current roster superstars the likes of Matt and Jeff Hardy, Mike Kanellis, and many, many more. Over the course of the last nine episodes of this podcast alone, we've been joined by such stars as former WWE champion Jack Swagger, professional wrestler turned author Austin Aries talking about his plant-powered journey from the bingo halls to the big time, Impact Wrestling Hall of Famer and former WWE Women's Champion Gail Kim talking about her post-retirement plans for the future, recently departed Impact Wrestling star Tyrus, formerly known as the Funkasaurus Brodus Clay in WWE, Chris Adonis, formerly Chris Masters in WWE, talking about the influence of such legends as Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff, the King Harley Race, and of course, the Heartbreak Kid Shawn Michaels on his career, and much, much, much more. To make sure that you never miss any of my star-studded podcasts here with Arm Drag Takedown with Poyo Del Mar, I encourage you follow the podcast on Twitter and like us on Facebook. You can find the podcast in both locations at ADT with PDM. ADT with PDM. That's Arm Drag Takedown with Poyo Del Mar. And if you would like to follow me personally, you can follow my personal Twitter account at the Glamazon PDM. That's the Glamazon PDM. Now it is time to turn our attention to WWE SmackDown Live Women's Champion Charlotte Flair. The very first time I ever spoke with Charlotte Flair, our guest this episode, was just before she made her jump from being NXT Women's Champion to the main roster. It was just weeks before WrestleMania 31 held in Santa Clara, California, where we spoke at a lavish VIP party at the yet-to-be-opened Levi's Stadium. At the time, Charlotte was expressing her concern about making the main roster jump and possibly living in the shadow of her legendary father, Ric Flair. Well, as everyone who follows the WWE product knows, Charlotte has had absolutely no problem stepping outside of that shadow and creating a Hall of Fame-worthy championship career all her own, even in just three short years with the company. Since that time, she has gone on to become a five-time Women's Champion on the main roster, four times on Raw, and once and current reigning on SmackDown Live. Earlier this year, Charlotte and her dad co-authored the book Second Nature, in which both of them discuss their careers as professional wrestlers, but delve into what it was like behind the scenes in their family life. Charlotte, of course, discussing what it is like to have grown up as the daughter of an iconic professional wrestler, as well as discussing some deeply personal topics in her life, such as her divorce from fellow professional wrestler Bram, as well as the unfortunate and untimely passing of her younger brother, Reed Flair, in 2013. Available now through St. Martin's Press, Second Nature, The Legacy of Ric Flair and the Rise of Charlotte, is a perfect stocking stuffer for any professional wrestling fan in your lives and is available in both print and electronic versions for those who may choose to read it on Kindle or similar devices. Before Charlotte defends her WWE SmackDown Live Women's Championship against Natalya Neidhart at the upcoming WWE Clash of Champions pay-per-view on Sunday, December 17th, she participates in the 2017 Tribute to the Troops, which will be seen on USA Network this Thursday, December 14th. After this momentary break, I will take you to the Arm Drag Takedown exclusive interview with SmackDown Women's Champion Charlotte Flair. I am your host, Poyo Del Mar, and we will be back in just a moment. Follow Arm Drag Takedown with Poyo Del Mar on Facebook and Twitter. Find us at ADT with PDM. That's ADT with PDM. You're listening to Arm Drag Takedown with Poyo Del Mar.
Hey guys, this is WWE superstar Charlotte Flair, and you are listening to Arm Drag Takedown. Woo!
Hi, Charlotte. Thank you for joining me today. I really appreciate it.
Of course.
First and foremost, you and I met a couple of years ago. In 2015, you were in Santa Clara, California to help promote WrestleMania at the time. And the exact words that you used to describe your ambitions for WWE at the time was to, quote, revolutionize women's wrestling. And I think that it's safe to say that you've accomplished exactly that. So I wanted you to talk to me about the advances in women's division since you joined the company.
Wow. I guess let's list it off. Well, WrestleMania 32, we were definitely one of the main events. We have usually two women's segments or two storylines going at one time. And when you hear the women are main eventing, you aren't really shocked anymore. And I think that's huge. I mean, it's crazy to think that, oh yeah, so-and-so are going to main event tonight. Sasha Banks versus Lesnar are going to main event Raw. You don't think, oh, that's incredible, because it's been done before and it's happening, you know, more and more. Me and Sasha main eventing a major pay-per-view. I don't think anyone ever thought that was possible. And now, two women's titles. You have Raw, SmackDown, maybe tag titles.
Yeah, I actually think that it's time for a set of tag titles.
I don't even know where to start. I mean, there's just so many things that have happened in the last 2.5 years. I think the biggest thing is saying, well, the women are main eventing and you aren't, like, shocked anymore, because we've done it. And we've proven time and time again that we deliver in that spot.
Both brands have recently brought up trios of new competitors or brought in the case of Paige returning. It seems that the company might actually be ripe for a women's tag team title.
I don't know. See, I don't know if that's the direction they're going. But, you know, that's how they debuted me, Sasha, and Becky. The trio, so I know what it's like to come, well, except for Paige. I know what it's like to come from NXT, wanting to take over, wanting to make a difference. And now that we have so many women who come up from NXT and so many more debuts, it's just more exciting, I think, to have fresh faces for fresh storylines. It raises competition and it keeps everyone on their toes. So I think it's great.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that one of the things that is certainly worth noting is that you have personally been able to come on to SmackDown, and they let you take a step back, but you continue to be a central role, and now it seems that you're finally getting your time to return to the main event with the championship there and this wonderful feud that's developing between you and Natalya. And I was wondering if you could tell me a little bit about your in-ring chemistry, especially since both of your families have a long history together.
Well, where do I start? Well, what's so special about me and Natty is that she put me on the map in NXT. She's who I faced for my first ever WWE title. I won the NXT title from her. And then in my hometown a few weeks ago, which was even crazier, being in my hometown, winning the SmackDown Women's title from her. But also the roles are flipped. She's the bad guy now. I'm the good guy. And that's, you know, like you said, the transition to SmackDown, for me, the hardest transition was, I had such a fear of being a good guy again. I was so scared. I was like, oh, how do I do this? I don't know. I was terrified, especially, you know, debuting as a good guy back in July, almost 3 years ago. I was nervous, but if Natty can make me look vulnerable, she's the woman to do it. It's always very hard-hitting. You can't deny our chemistry. And we both have very similar styles. I think technical wrestling is something that we both like to do. So having the opportunity to face her again and be more polished than I was in NXT, which I feel like I learned something every day. I could go back and redo matches at the beginning of last year because I wish I knew then what I know now. But Natalya is someone that I always know when I go in there that it just clicks.
Tell me a little bit about what we are going to see as the Riot Squad comes forward, because obviously you and Natalya will be having your match at the Clash of Champions in a couple of weeks, but the Riot Squad is really playing a pivotal role, it seems, at the moment on SmackDown and really livening up the division. So tell me more about that.
Yeah, so we have the Riot Squad, but let's not forget Carmella with the Money in the Bank. I've never been in a situation where a girl could cash in or someone could interrupt our match. Obviously, the Riot Squad has been interrupting our matches. They interrupted a title match between me and Natalya. But, for instance, Carmella could cash in during our Clash of Champions match, and that's something that I've never been faced with before, so I don't know what to expect, except just kind of be wary of it. But the fact that the Riot Squad had made such an impact so quickly, I think that having the SmackDown Women's title, obviously I'm a major target, but I feel like they're targeting everyone. So I don't know how it's going to break down.
Of course, I really want to talk to you about your book. And when it came time to sit down and write Second Nature, how did you decide which stories from your life with an iconic father and as a child growing up in the spotlight to share?
Oof. Okay, so it took almost 2 years to finish. And Brian and I would have a lot of conversations like we are right now where he'd interview me but take me to use, you know, to go back to jot down notes, but I wasn't able to express myself this way, so I had to journal a lot for those 2 years, and as I was journaling, I started to remember things. I was like, how did I not remember this, or why do I not think about this? This was such a big, or this had such an impact in my life, but when it came time to write the book, I know how open and honest my dad is, so I thought, you know, this would be my opportunity to be open and honest. And there were days where I was like, oh, I want to share this. I don't want to share this. You know, I've spent so many years building this non-relatable, unbreakable, never vulnerable character who I needed in my personal life. And I had to lift the curtain and let everyone in on really what it was like and talk about my unlikely journey to the WWE. And for me, it was very therapeutic. And I feel like I have a lot of weight off my chest and I can just go out there and be me. But in terms of having a famous father, I say this all the time, I really never understood who my dad was to this industry until I started myself. I grew up like a normal kid. I played a lot of sports. I didn't really get in a lot of trouble. Had good grades. Played volleyball in college. Other than saying, like, yeah, my dad's Ric Flair, or, you know, Michael Jordan came to our Christmas party, like, things like that were just normal. So I don't really have any, you know, crazy stories, but it was more what I went through in my 20s and the growing pains and how being a WWE superstar changed my life, and that's why I wanted to write the story, is to let people know that they're not alone and everyone goes through something and is fighting a battle, no matter what, you know, a cover doesn't tell everything.
Throughout the book, you obviously do make yourself very vulnerable by sharing very personal experiences with the readers. And I was wondering if there was a particular revelation in the book that was most difficult for you to make public?
I don't know why this is, but it really got to me when I first started in the WWE that people would make fun of me being divorced because my dad had been divorced so many times. I don't know why it bothered me. I don't know if it's because I hate failing, or I was embarrassed, or I was comparing myself, you know, to the female peers. I don't know. But to just get that off my chest, explain, you know, what I've been through and what I've learned, and I've come out a better person, I think that was the hardest part to share. And then, obviously, you know, writing a letter to my brother was extremely hard. But I think that was the biggest thing for me, was just getting that off my chest and saying, okay, you've done it, because I'm always compared to my dad, whether it's personal life, whether it's wrestling, and sometimes I handle it really well and other times I don't, but I feel like every year I just get stronger and I know myself more and more, and being able to get that off my chest and put it down in words was extremely therapeutic.
Your letter to your brother is so moving and clearly very personal. It's something that a lot of people presumably throughout your career would have asked about, and it must have been very uncomfortable. Do you feel like putting this out there is either putting it to rest or continuing to open that for conversation?
I don't think I'll ever put my brother, losing my little brother, to rest, because I have so much guilt. I mean, just the fact that he's never seen me on the main roster is so hard. Like, I deal with it every single day. So my brother, I don't think I'll ever get over losing him. But everything else I can put in the past. Because if you live in the past, you're not growing. And that was, for me, such a huge step. Because a lot of, you know, the fact that I'm a WWE superstar, sometimes I really think, like, how did I get here? I know people are like, oh, your dad's Ric Flair, he was in the industry. But if you had known me just 6 years ago, you would have never thought in a million years this was who I'd become, or the opportunities that have happened. It's so crazy. It's like lightning in a bottle when I met the three other horsewomen in NXT and trained with them, and then my match with Natty. It was all like it was destiny.
So I just want to be very clear, and I didn't want to seem insensitive. I wasn't suggesting that you would ever put your brother's death behind you.
No. I don't think that. It's just one of those things that a lot of people lose loved ones, and I know that people move on. There's so much, you know, I didn't get to see him before he passed, and I don't know. People usually don't bring him up to me. People know why I do certain things. Like, I love Guns N' Roses because of my brother. Like, that's all he listened to. So there's a lot of people who are fans, who kind of follow my career, follow my social media, know what I'm talking about, but no one actively ever disrespects me by bringing him up or saying anything.
So you mentioned a lot of the comparisons to your father, and I won't mention his multiple divorces. I will congratulate him because I know he's got, you know, new things going on in his life that are all positive. You've worked actively throughout your career to really step out of that shadow, and you've obviously done very well for yourself, and I want to give that complete props. But was there concern that somehow writing this book about your life and really putting out there a lot of the journey that you've had as the daughter of an iconic wrestler would only reinforce that idea? Would it be a backward step in some ways of the process of stepping out of his shadow by writing a book that so details the life sort of in that family?
I thought about that, but if I hadn't been so open and honest, I feel like it would have been a hard, like, okay, they're doing a dual biography together. We get it. She wrestled. He wrestled. She's continuing the legacy. But I think after reading my section, people realize that my dad really has nothing to do with my career and that it's all my brother.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's great that I'm attached to him, but here's the thing, and started since the day I started at SPW in Tampa. When you walk out through that curtain and people know you're Ric Flair's kid, you're not going to get away from it. So either you accept it or you don't. The fans can think what they want. But if I was just another 5'10 blonde that was very athletic that stepped through, I don't think I would have dealt with as much criticism as I did. I think the criticism and the pressure is what's gotten me to where I am today and elevated my game.
I wanted to ask you, of course, about the upcoming WWE Tribute to the Troops and your participation in that much-beloved annual event.
Yes. So let's go back to last year. I had the opportunity to be a part of the Handshake Tour and go to Afghanistan and to have that opportunity to see what it's like and to travel to, overseas onto a war zone was the most eye-opening, amazing experience that I've ever been a part of. So this year, knowing that the Tribute to the Troops was actually on a naval base and not an arena, and we brought the show to them, and all the men and women and their fatigues and the audience felt very personal and special, and that's how we wanted to make it for them. You know, this is our most heartwarming and patriotic show of the year, and to be able, you know, to look at the one front row or even in the bleachers and just look them in the eyes and say thank you on the mic after a match was extremely special, and I'm just glad I was able to have the opportunity to do that this year, especially having the opportunity or the chance to go overseas and really, really see what it's like.
Well, Charlotte, I am so grateful to have this opportunity to speak, and thank you. I'm looking forward to seeing how the women continue to develop and watching your progress as a superstar. It's been inspiring and joyous, especially as I mentioned early on that I got to speak with you right before you made that big jump to the main roster and how excited you were even as you were standing there holding your NXT title.
I can't believe it. Yeah, it's crazy how times change. Oh, thank you. Now I got to talk to you today.
I'm glad too. By the way, they need to honor you as the first Grand Slam women's champion.
That's crazy. It's so cool. I don't even know what to say. I'm just so glad I had the opportunity to be the Divas champion, because the Divas championship had a lot of history, and to be a part of that reign was awesome.
Well, thank you. Have a fantastic day.
Thanks, you too. Bye.
That was obviously SmackDown Live Women's Champion Charlotte Flair. On December 14th, she will be at the WWE Television Special Tribute to the Troops 2017 and at the upcoming SmackDown Live Clash of Champions pay-per-view. She will defend the Women's Championship against Natty Neidhart. You are listening to Arm Drag Takedown with Poyo Del Mar. I am Poyo Del Mar. And we will be back right after this. Woo!
Hey guys, This is WWE superstar Charlotte Flair, and you are listening to Arm Drag Takedown.
All right, listeners, that brings episode 10 of Arm Drag Takedown to a close. I would like to remind you this was a very special episode that was broadcast specifically to get it out in time for WWE's Tribute to the Troops, which is happening, of course, on Thursday, December 14th, as well as to discuss in advance of this weekend's Clash of Champions, a SmackDown exclusive pay-per-view event during which Charlotte Flair will defend her SmackDown Women's title against Natty Neidhart in a lumberjack match. That and much more are going to be taking place over the course of the weekend. I would like to remind all of you that normally these podcasts include my recaps of the week in professional wrestling on all of our favorite televised wrestling products, as well as opinions, news, and headline updates on what is happening in and around the world of professional wrestling. I encourage each and every one of you who have joined us for this very special podcast to subscribe to my Facebook and Twitter page. You can find Arm Drag Takedown with Pollo Del Mar at ADT with PDM. ADT with PDM. I look forward to connecting with you again in the future, but for now, like this episode, you can stick a fork in me, honey, because I am done.